Welcome to the Canvas Rebel podcast, where we believe your story matters. Your viewpoint and your insights matter. In our view, there is far too much coverage of the trends that ivory tower professors and billionaire fund managers are seeing. What's the edge in hearing the billionaire consensus view over and over again? The edge comes from hearing new perspectives and new information, like from the wedding planner who's worked with hundreds of couples during the pandemic and has noticed that new couples are allocating significantly more of their wedding budgets on small details like personalized neon signs, or hearing from an accountant who's seeing how there is a huge uptick in e-commerce clients generating revenue from in-person pop-ups. Those sorts of insights are what Canvas Rebel is all about. And today, Madison is chatting with some of our content partners about trends and lessons learned. Content partners help us in so many ways, from sponsoring our mission to spreading the word about the work that we do and collaborating with us on content like this. And so with no further ado, here's Madison with today's panel.
Well, hi, everyone. My name is Madison. Thank you so much for joining me for another episode of our Canvas Rebel podcast, talking about entrepreneurship and building a brand or a business. We talk about this a lot on the podcast. Every single episode I've recorded with an entrepreneur who's talked about how they've built their brand or their business has been so impactful, not only on myself, but I know our audience as well. We just love giving you a platform to share your stories. And selfishly, these are my favorite episodes because I get so inspired and fired up afterwards. So very excited to be chatting with the four of you today. I'd love to hear a little bit more about each of you, where you're based, and what you do.
So I am Danielle Allen, the owner of Royalty Accounting Firm. We are based out of Jacksonville, Florida. We specialize in all inclusive accounting packages for businesses, organizations, and individuals. We like to focus our business on small businesses, teaching them the foundations of financial management.
Awesome.
All right. And my name is Kalia Baird. I am located in Dallas, Texas, and I am the owner of Bella Boutique, which is an online luxury boutique, as well as Bella Lumiere Hair Extensions Company, which is a luxury hairline that I am in the process of relaunching. Primarily, I focus on enhancing the confidence and beauty of women and making sure that I tend to their mental health, because I like to stretch people outside of their comfort zones and give them a variety of styles. I'm very inclusive when it comes to the boutique, when it comes to sizing, just because I know that that's sometimes a problem area for us as women within the beauty and fashion industry. So I'm just here to help your mental health as you look good.
Hello, everyone. My name is Chris Mathis. I'm in Grand Rapids, Michigan. My background is that of a serial entrepreneur. My portfolio consists of businesses ranging from food and beverage and tourism to reality TV, business coaching, and a number of other projects.
Right on.
Hey, everyone. My name is Rocco Coza. I am based out of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and I am the founder and managing partner of the Coza Law Group. We are a business, entertainment, and commercial litigation law firm. We work with everything from small businesses to Fortune 500 companies. I typically focus my practice on mergers and acquisitions, strategic advising, and a large part of the entertainment law practice is what I do. So I've been practicing law over 20 years now and love every bit of it. So happy to be here.
Yeah, amazing. Well, the million-dollar question that I always start off asking in these entrepreneurship panels is, were you always called to be an entrepreneur? Was this something you knew in elementary school, that you were going to have your own business and be a serial entrepreneur? Or was that something you discovered later in life? I'd love to hear from each of you what that journey has looked like. And whoever wants to go first, feel free to just chime in.
I'll go first. For me personally, no, I did not know that I was going to go into the journey of entrepreneurship. I actually graduated with my degree in psychology, and I thought that I would be helping others in a different dynamic. However, being in that field, it brought out of a little bit of a sadder side. And I was like, I don't want to service people that way. And always having a passion of getting dressed and styling and helping my college friends as well as my adult friends, and like picking out something to wear, I had to hone into my talents. And so that's what it led me to do. I had conversations in college about, oh, I could be my own boss, but eventually it led to be that. So I'm grateful to be an entrepreneur.
Yeah, super cool.
So when I started out in high school, I never wanted to have my own business. I thought never even crossed my mind. I wanted to be a paralegal. I wanted to do all the, I didn't want to be a lawyer because I didn't want to go to school that long. So I wanted to be a paralegal. I wanted to get the case together for the lawyer, for them to win the case. So that was my drive. I did go to school for criminal justice. I had children early, so that's redirected my life. And then I landed a job at the Department of Revenue. And when I landed that job at the Department of Revenue, it was like, oh, this is what I want to do. I love the job. I love the job. I love the aspect. I love everything it entails. And then I've seen the need that taxpayers deal with every day, that they lack the education of business foundations and so forth. So I was like, I want to help business owners. I used to get tons of business owners calling, crying on the phone, not having a sense of direction.
Yep.
And sometimes I'll be empathetic, and then sometimes I'll be vital, like, I don't care, like, this ain't the day. So I turned it around, and I opened up my own practice, and I've been doing it ever since 2016, and I love what I do. So I never imagined doing it, but I love it.
Yeah.
It fuels me every day.
Yeah. That's so, so important. I will never understand why these things are not being taught. Like why was I learning how to sew and bake cookies in high school, not how to register to vote and pay my taxes, all these practical skills and change a tire and like all these things I'm trying to figure out as an adult. I'm just trying to make it happen.
Absolutely.
Kudos to you for teaching people about that. That's wonderful.
I mean, for me, I think I was an entrepreneur at heart, and I came from a very low middle class family, low middle class area. First one in my family to go to college, and I always loved sales when I was a kid. Like, I was selling baseball cards. I worked in restaurants. I was a waiter. So I loved dealing with people. I went to college. I actually was a psychology major as well. And I contemplated going into graduate school to be a child psychologist, but applied, got waitlisted, ended up going to law school, which was kind of my second love. But I went into law school with the position, it was a means to an end to me. I wanted to have my own practice someday, have my own business. I went and worked at a big law firm. I went and worked in corporate America for, I thought was going to be about 3 years, ended up being 14 years until I came out and started my firm in 2019. So I was an entrepreneur at heart, but when I was in corporate America, I was hedging my bets. And I just got to a point where I hated it. And I was miserable. And I just came home one day, told my wife I was resigning, jumped and figured it out. And here I am 4 years later and having a blast doing it. Still, every year I learn more that I don't know, but it's a journey that I would not change for anything.
Yeah.
We've got a lot in common, Rocco. My story's different. I am definitely, again, entrepreneur to the core. I started young, sold pencils in school to you name it. I get my hands on as a kid. And then I took a business class when I was 16. And I think that was where the light bulb came on, and it's just like, okay, I can turn this into something. And then at 19, I made the first try at starting my first business, failed at that, and then tried again when I was 26. And then I walked off my full-time job at 29 and I looked back. And so it's been entrepreneur and stories and ups and downs and highs and lows and emotional days where it doesn't go well and then days where it goes overly well. And yeah, all of that came with the journey after that. But to Rocco's point, I wouldn't change a single thing about it.
Yeah.
I absolutely love what I get to do every day. And this is definitely the calling for sure.
Yeah, right on. Well, I get a lot of my inspiration from hosting the podcast and talking to entrepreneurs like each of you, but I would love to know who or what is keeping you all inspired today.
I mean, I could tell you.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, honestly, it's my kids. I have a 22-year-old son who's going to law school next year, and I have a 14-year-old and a 10-year-old daughter, and they inspire me. And I love the fact that, when they put on a shirt that has our firm's logo on it, they're proud of it. And that's what motivates me. Cause there's there's ups and downs.
Yeah.
Like you said, I mean, every day there's new stresses and new challenges, but that's what keeps me going. And I really believe we're trying to redefine the industry. You know, we're coming off the practice law from a place of kindness and decency and treating people right and doing right by your clients. And we're not a transactional, we're very relationship based. So it's, I really want to build a different legacy, but it's truly my kids that inspire me every day to keep going.
I love that.
I would chime in and say the same. My daughter is 10 and she's into swimming and everything creative, which is kind of who I am. And so, and then my son, he turns 9 years old today. He just got signed to his first agency for acting work out of Illinois. And so he's 9 years old and he's doing auditions and he's preparing to go to New York later this summer for auditions and all these things at his young age. And what really inspired me with the situation, he came to me one day and he says, "Daddy, I want to be famous just like you." And he had saw me on YouTube and some other news stories that had come out about me. And that's his response to me. And at home. And so I've been working hard to make sure that my kids have everything that I didn't. And then I would say the other side of that for me is serving people. Mm-hmm. I have spent my entire career creating things that allow me to serve people, giving people opportunities, getting people in the room, especially people of color who don't have an opportunity to be in the room or have full access to the same resources that others may have. I've been very fortunate to have not only gotten in those rooms, but I've built a platform that has allowed a lot of people to stand with me and allow them access to things that they may not have had access to before. So those have been the two things that have drove me over the years.
Incredible.
I would say the same. My kids inspire me, but my daughter definitely inspires me. She's in college for psychology. She also works in the office with me. She watches me as I grow the company. She looks up to me. She is my biggest cheerleader when I'm feeling down. She gives me that motivation, that inspiration. She gives me that push. She even preached to me. She gives me that push and anything that I need to take it to the next level.
That's beautiful.
I would say for me, it's really my audience and my support system that keeps me going. Because people literally look to me to like inspire them. They're like, you're going, pushing. We love what you're doing. Being able to serve is something that I'm very big on, and building a rapport with others. I feel like most of the time within the beauty and fashion industry, everything's just going by so fast and it's like a trend. And I like to take my time, like my pieces that I offer, you're not going to see every place. I take my time with my wholesalers to see what I'm going to sell and curate looks. And I'm not just curating what I'm selling. I take what's in my closet too and piece those items together. So I try to motivate others to like really challenge themselves to like, hey, how can I stand out? Because I want you to compliment the room you're standing in. I never want you to feel like you're in competition, but compliment one another and feel good and stand out, but also not feel like, hey, you have on the same outfit I have on. Like, we look alike and you thought you were really killing that outfit. And it's just like, no, I want to be able to serve those and give that energy, but also build that rapport. And I take the time to really get to know my audience. And if they reach out to me, we're having a conversation, like, really, where's your mental at first before we go into beauty and fashion? Like, how can I really serve you and make sure you're okay? So it's going to be my audience and my support system every time.
I love that. Well, I know you're in Dallas. I'm in Dallas too. So we'll definitely have to get together and connect after this, for sure. All of us too. But well, my final question before we wrap up for today, if you could go back and tell your younger self one piece of business advice for building your business or building your brand, what would that be?
I would say research. If I could go back and tell myself anything, I would say definitely research. And I told my daughter that the other day, because she wants to build a nonprofit. First of all, you need to research, find out who your target audience is, come up with a marketing strategy. When I first got in business, I just said, I know what I want to do and I'm going to start a business. I didn't have a foundation. I didn't have no business plan. I have nothing but the vision. So, and I find myself going back and moving forward, then going pushing back and moving forward. So I would tell my younger self to research, write the vision out, and make a plan. That's what I was saying.
Good advice.
Good. I would say if I were to go back, there's one piece of advice I would probably give to my younger self or tell, knowing that my circumstances of what I come from, single mom, my father was a drug addict for 30 years of my life. I come from nothing. Yeah. And I beat a lot of odds to get to this point and have worked extremely hard to get here. So the thing that I would tell myself is that the easiest thing, the easiest thing you'll ever do is the work that you do. It is second nature to me to do the stuff that I do. It's just easy to serve people, build businesses, come up with creative ideas. But on the other side of that, the hardest thing that I've ever done in my entire career is to believe. Simply believe that every day these crazy ideas that rumble around my head, that keep me up at night and wake me up in the middle of the night to write stuff down, the people that around me that said, Chris, this will never work, you're crazy, to think that one day these things can actually become a reality for me. What I would tell my younger self is just to hold on to the belief and not give up, that one day it's going to happen for you.
That blind faith, just trusting it will all work out.
100%.
I would say for me, if I would go back and tell my younger self, because, you know, being a young lawyer, a young entrepreneur, it was very overwhelming. Mm-hmm. I would tell myself, just solve the next problem. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't have to have it all figured out. Just solve the next problem. And that's how I approach life today. And it's made things so very simple, because I don't have to see the whole picture yet. I got to solve the problem that's right in front of me. And then that allows me the opportunity and the visions to see what's next. But when I was younger, I'd get so overwhelmed by just trying to know everything and see everything. And when you do that, you're not even solving the problem that's right in front of you. Yeah. And I try and mentor the young lawyers here and tell them the same thing, just solve the next problem. Because once you do that, then you build that momentum as well. And momentum is so important as an entrepreneur or a business owner, because once you have it, it helps you grow exponentially. But the moment you stop the momentum, it takes so much to get it back. So just, I would go back and say, just solve the next problem.
Yep. One step at a time.
Yep.
I believe that you all three have covered everything that I would have told my younger self, to be honest. But I guess to add to it is honestly just do it. Just, you know, once you do the research, but start the business. Don't sit on that thought process, because it's going to take time to get, you know, into that success level. It does take time. It doesn't happen overnight, as much as we might see over social media. You have to put that hard work in. But I believe all three of you guys have given like the best advice. So I won't take up any more time, because I would tell myself all those things too.
That's awesome. Well, real quick, since we have just a few more minutes, I would love to ask one question that was not on the list. What can we expect for you and your brand or your businesses in 2024? Are there any exciting projects, new launches, growth? What's on the agenda for 2024?
This is the one time I'm going to speak first. Only because of how we started this conversation. So I think the big thing that my team and I are really excited about right now is the release of our new business reality series called Let's Help Her Win. The show is similar to a Shark Tank feel. Okay. But the goal is it's all centered around women in business and entrepreneurship. And the reason we started this and I had this idea is why 80% of the business that I work with are women owned. Are women entrepreneurs. Wow. And the challenges and the financial challenges and the venture capital challenges, the list goes on and on and on that women face every day in business. And I wanted to create a platform to address that. So I invited a bunch of my friends who are investors and women-owned entrepreneurs to come on and build a platform to help invest in women entrepreneurship. So 12 women come onto the show and pitch their idea in front of a team of investors who then invest into their business in exchange for equity. And then they mentor along with cash investment to help that business grow and scale. And so that will launch April 3rd. And then we're already in our pre-production for our season 2 to start filming this fall.
That is amazing. I'm so excited to watch. I love Shark Tank. I grew up watching Shark Tank in business classes at school. So I'm thrilled to see that.
It'll be good. It'll definitely be good.
I have to piggyback off that, because we, you know, outside of that, we have, you know, exponential growth set up for this year, but we started a foundation last year called the CLG Foundation to really go into underprivileged school districts and teach kids about entrepreneurship. Like, there's a different path other than college. And we had our first gala last year. We have our second one coming up in May to raise money to have an actual Shark Tank competition for kids in high school. Nice. Where they can actually, you know, we're bringing advisors in, judges, where we're going to give a $10,000 investment plus services from advisors to help them actually get their idea off. And it could be as simple as a landscaping business. It doesn't have to be a unique idea. It just has to be someone that has the passion, the grit, the motivation, and really wants to do it. We're kind of looking for that in these underprivileged school districts. So that's going to be a big push this year to really get off the ground.
Yeah, that's going to change. That's going to change someone's life forever.
That's amazing. The goal. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That's great.
So I don't have no major things this year coming up. I want to leverage speaking platforms.
Yeah.
So I do have some of that on the roster for this year, speaking engagements on panels and so forth. But that's what Royal Tech kind of firm has going on.
Awesome.
For me, I am fairly new to Dallas. I just relocated almost a year ago next month. So getting back out and networking, I have been working with Pinterest to do a partnership with them to start running ads and everything. And working with you all. But also just, I would like to stretch myself too. Like, I would love to start working as a personal stylist, to kind of get out there and show my creativity. I have done, consultations. I might bring those back and starting a boutique, and just helping others that are trying to grow in the industry. It's just getting back out there, getting my feet planted now that I am. I've been here for about a year. So those are the little things that are going, but I'm sure more to come. So I'm excited for the projections that might be here for me in 2024.
Amazing. Good. That's wonderful. Well, thank you all so much for joining me today. This was very inspiring for me. I'm like fired up, ready for the rest of my Monday after talking with all of you. And seriously, so thrilled to see all of the amazing things that you are going to accomplish this year. I wish you all nothing but success and blessings in 2024.
Same to you.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure.
Thank you. Everybody have a wonderful Monday.
Absolutely. Yeah. Do the same. Take care.